When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from BB's Tex Orleans in Katy as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I am Branham. It is Brian here. That's weird. Age behind the glass. Everybody out with our promo team. We got a trio. Trio where Paul's here hanging out. He's about to have a bite. It's a great spot. BB's Cajun Cantina in Katy. Their cantina concept, which is a little different than their BB's Tex Orleans. A lot of the same stuff on the menu. I've been to BB's few times. I've been to BB's more often than I knew. I had the Wi-Fi password already in the computer. That's how often I've been to BB's. Now that I think about it, we did do the Major Applewhite show at BB's Tex Orleans back in the Heights.
Okay.
So I think that's why I had the Wi-Fi from way back then. But this is a great spot. They have a little, like, what would you call that? That dip? They're chips and, like, bean and sausage dip.
It was like
dip.
A red bean
yeah, but it was like
salsa?
Soupy. Yeah, it was really good. It was very, very good. I liked it so much that I ordered the red beans and rice.
Okay.
Because it got me in the mood. But fantastic concept. Basslers, of course, the BBs, they're Cougars, so love them. Talk to them quite often. So good to be out here. If you're in the area, swing on by. Can't make it out today? Well, they're always open, and they always have terrific food. They have a Texas Trio, which just caught my eye. Pick any three for only $16.99. It's served with corn, potatoes, dipping sauces. You get to pick three. The options are six-piece shrimp, crispy fried fish strips, a two-count cheeseburger slider, spicy button mushrooms and pineapple sausage. That sounds eventful. Belleville sweet chipotle sausage, or a three-count boneless chicken wings. And you can pick any three of those options, and it's for under $17. It's a bargain.
It's a great
deal. It's a deal.
It's unbelievable. I checked it twice because I was like, you get three of those?
I know.
For that price? That's amazing.
You can order two of them, get all six things, for less than $35.
There you go.
How about that math?
There's a deal for you, analytics guy.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, so Killer Bees out at BB's Cajun Cantina in Katy. You're in the area. Come on, say hello. You can register to win our e-bikes, the grand prize of the summer. We'll be here until 6 o'clock, of course. Lots to get to today. It's Friday. Brian on Friday flexes and pounds the table and makes his play Who Said It. So we'll play Who Said It later. Todd Callis, the TV voice of the Astros, has the night off, actually, because the Astros are on Apple TV. He'll be joining us a little bit later in the show as well. Kick around this Astros series against the Yankees. Should be a fun one, too. Hunter Brown today, Framber Valdez tomorrow. I kind of like spacing them. I don't love when they pitch back-to-back. It's not that big a deal. But should be a fun series in the Bronx.
No, I'm looking forward to it. And I mean, from the standpoint of a Yankees team of the past and this rivalry and where it's been over the years, Yankees are reeling. And this is a really important series for them to kind of hang in there. The Red Sox, I believe, surpassed them for second in the East. And this is a massive series for them where, once again, the Astros can not only prove that they're the Yankees' daddies, but they may put the Yankees to bed in the process because of the fact that they are teetering.
Remember when Pedro Martinez, like, I guess you just have to call the Yankees my daddy?
Yes,
that's
yep.
one of my favorite sound yep. bites of all time.
Daddy.
I guess you just have to call the Yankees my daddy. I love it. I've told you the Family Feud thing. What was he saying? He was saying, what rhymes with yummy? And he said, Miami. I love Pedro Martinez so much. He's one of my favorite pitchers ever.
He's fun to listen to on MLB Network.
He's good, man.
Yep,
he's
really
good. I like watching those documentaries, too, like the Red Sox-Yankees, whenever they used to battle. And, like, he walked to the dugout and, like, pointed to his head, like, remember who you're messing with. And he was tiny. It's like a tiny – I love
He really
Pedro,
was.
Man.
He was. Yeah, he had a rubber band arm, and he was very, very slight build. But he was, you know, he wasn't afraid to mix it up.
What rhymes with yummy? Miami. Anyways, we'll get to the Astros-Yankees. A bunch of Astro talk coming up a little bit bit later. I'll get to some NFL stuff. But the C.J. Gardner-Johnson stuff is interesting. Aaron Wilson last night in the evening reported that he has a torn ACL. The flagship, the Highway to Hell, copied him and tweeted out that he had a torn ACL. They have since deleted that. They, in that tweet, too, it said that there were multiple sources, and then, of course, they had to delete that. So I'm sure the Texans probably called the flagship, and, hey, we're not too pleased about that. But if you go look at Aaron Wilson's timeline, Aaron Wilson reported, I don't know, 7 o'clock, somewhere around there, that he had a torn ACL. Less than a minute later, he said, maybe not a torn ACL. So I guess we have a source off. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But it seems like good news with C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Look, I think when I first saw his tweet, I just kind of went, oh, okay, well, that was expected. You know, it was just the kind of clarification of what we were all fearing already, that it was already a done deal. And then all of a sudden you see Schefter and you see Rappaport and all these other guys coming out there with the report of the exact opposite, that it's not torn, it's intact, but they're checking other things out. And you're like, wait, time out. Wait a minute. And then, of course, I immediately think about the fact that, you know, with Aaron Wilson, you point out the fact that he was extremely wrong about DeMeco and the Broncos back in the day. But I'm like, ooh, that's a tough look for anybody. But it is good news if you're a Texans fan because of the fact that you keep hope alive in the fact that at some point during this season, you might still have C.J. Gardner-Johnson available to you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it could be a torn MCL, though. So, like, it's kind of one of those, like, okay. Like, I don't know what's going on. Maybe Aaron Wilson's going to be right. Like, maybe it was the whole Chandler Rome, Justin Verlander's going to need Tommy John. They're like, no, we don't need Tommy John. We don't know that yet. And then, you know, a month later, oh, yeah, he's having Tommy John. So I'm not ready to call it. Like, I'm not ready to plant the flag on whether or not C.J. Gardner-Johnson's going to be back or not. Mm-hmm. But I guess that it is good news that his ACL is intact, I suppose.
Yeah, and again, I'm not a medical professional, and I stayed at the house last night, so I didn't get any help. I'm just wondering if they're doing the MRI and they're looking at everything in the knee, wouldn't that already tell you that all the ligaments are okay?
Should.
That maybe there's something else that, you know, could be a lot less threatening to his season that might be on the radar, that could be something that, you know, is diagnosed, or maybe it's a sprain.
Yeah. I mean, there's other things in the knee that could cost you your year, though.
Sure.
Like Slater had the torn patellar tendon. Like, he didn't tear his ACL, but he tore his patellar tendon, and he's out for the year. So, like, they could, like, lawyer us, right? Okay, his ACL is great, but his patellar tendon's jacked up. He's going to miss the season.
Yeah, I suppose the MRI tells them everything. What they tell us, or what they tell their quote-unquote sources and the people that are around the business,
yeah,
is totally different. So you're right. It could be that they know everything, but they just wanted to prove everybody wrong that it wasn't the ACL.
And I had that exact thought because of what happened with DeMeco and Joe Mixon. We just did this, 2 weeks ago when they reported for camp where we know Joe Mixon, he was in a walking boot. He was on the non-injured list. All of a sudden, he's not there and healthy to start camp. And DeMeco went to the links of saying, we want media here to have our guys back over
yes.
reporting the news. So I can see to your point of them, like, kind of nitpicking. Well, it's not a torn ACL,
yeah.
but it's actually something else.
Right.
He's an injury, but trying to dunk on the media by more so Aaron Wilson
yeah.
with the specific injury.
Remember my theory. Like, I was like, we thought originally that DeMeco was talking to Rappaport whenever he came out with that, you know, strong stance
right,
at the press
right,
conference.
Right, right.
How dare you not look in the best interest of our players whenever you're reporting the news? And then the next day I was like, I wonder if this might be Aaron Wilson, in fact, because he's trying to put a timeline on it when they don't want a timeline on it.
Right.
And if you watched Aaron Wilson's YouTube where he tried to recap everything that happened with the tweets and everything else and what the true status is, he went on to talk about Mixon. And he's not done by any stretch of the imagination in kind of possibly being in the crosshairs, because now he's questioning what the injury is with Mixon.
Yeah.
He's talking about the fact that everybody's saying it's the foot, but he's saying that it's an ankle, and that's proven by the fact that it's a lace-up brace that he's been wearing when he's been at the facility trying to, you know, question whoever had the reports of it being a foot. So Aaron Wilson is knee-deep in a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah. I pulled up Wilson's timeline yesterday, which, remember, according to Aaron Wilson, and look, I like Aaron. I think Aaron's right 95% of the time. But according to Aaron Wilson, DeMeco Ryans was not interested in the Houston Texans job. But I do think he's a good reporter. Anyways, he tweeted this out yesterday. CD tore ACL in his right knee, is out for the year, will require surgery to repair the damage, according to sources. It's a tough blow, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, a minute later, Texans are still conducting more tests for safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson to determine full extent of damage, with source saying ACL is not torn. He's expected to be sidelined, though, for an undetermined amount of time. So he reversed course very, very quickly.
It's the dangerous world they live in when they're living and dying with being the breaking news type guys. Because, I mean, credit to Mark Berman for all the years he did it, because it is a slippery slope, and your sources have to be, you know, very, very reliable, and you have to be careful when and the timing and when you put them out. If you are in a situation like this, you feel bad for him because, he, you know, by all accounts that
for
I
who?
For Aaron Wilson.
Do you?
I feel bad for the fact that, you know, that he may have made a bad judgment, and in the process he's wearing it.
Yeah, I don't share the sentiment, I guess. That said, like, I don't envy like any reporter's jobs. Like, I think I hate that job. I would never want that job. It's why I kind of like mock me being a journalist, because I'm the furthest thing from it. I have zero desire to like break news and find sources and like have to be first. Like, I would dread that. I would hate that.
I mean, that's the toughest part of it. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but they did some kind of like a video roundtable with the guys that do all the breaking news. And people were doing the, oh, heartbreaking and woe is me's for Shams, because Shams was part of it with Schefter and some of the other guys. And he was like, I'm on a date and I have to walk out in the middle of the date because I have to break news and I'm this and I'm that. No one feels sorry for you, bro. You're making a ton of money on an ideal job.
It's a tough job, though. Like,
it is.
Tons of hours. Here's what the Highway to Hell tweeted yesterday, because I think that they totally copied Aaron Wilson. Like, no one else had it, right, Paul? Like, only Aaron Wilson was the one. I think Aaron Wilson was the only person that tweeted out that C.J. Gardner-Johnson had a torn ACL. The Highway to Hell tweeted out, like, seconds later, multiple sources reporting that Texan safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson tore his ACL in his right knee earlier today. So, like, one, they were wrong. Secondly, who are their sources? Third, I think it was Aaron Wilson. Fourth, that's not multiple.
Their source is Aaron Wilson and the person who told Aaron Wilson.
Yes. That was, like, that's a crazy tweet, man.
Yeah, it is.
Especially being the flagship. To be wrong about it? To be, like, that's nuts.
See, you're right. Because that run right there is with my own personal experiences. Part of the reason why you almost have a handshake agreement that you're not going to go out there and kind of break the news like that is you're going to get the news from the team first before it goes anywhere else, and you're going to get the real deal. And so it's kind of like a handshake. But when stuff like that happens, that's a horrible look, and you know the team cannot be happy about
that. No, they're probably ticked off.
Very much so.
I bet you they let people know immediately.
This is above the communications director or whoever they are. This goes right to the team president level when you have something like this happen with an impact like that, a player like CJ.
Meanwhile, Jimmy Ward got arrested while all of this was going on. Now, we shouldn't laugh about such a serious issue, but it does look like he broke one of like the bylaws of his like release or whatever. Like, he was drinking. He tested positive for alcohol. Like, this wasn't something
Paul's
new.
About to do the same thing.
Yeah, but Paul doesn't have probation or like or a restraining order on him that we know of. Paul, do you have a restraining order out on you? He says no. So Paul's allowed to drink. Jimmy Ward apparently is not allowed to drink.
It was just Montgomery County?
Yeah, I live there.
Yeah,
the
and I saw people like tweeting going, they have like some rando extra clauses that other counties don't, where they can actually put these in and enforce them if they want to. They chose to do this with Jimmy Ward. Unfortunate for him that he's already dealing with everything else. And then they get him now when the timing was just after C.J. Gardner-Johnson went down. Not a good look.
Yeah, the severity of it wasn't as bad as what it seemed like initially. Like, Kunkel was like, oh, he got arrested again, which is true. He did get arrested again, but it was because he broke, like, a provision in the original arrest and the original release where he's not allowed to drink alcohol. He was tested positive for alcohol. He didn't know he couldn't drink alcohol. His attorney did say today to Aaron Wilson, if we're believing Aaron Wilson today, that he expects Montgomery County to no-bill him, which means that he like it basically dismisses the charges, which is what happened to Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson got no-billed. So I wonder. Like, we'll see. I did see Jimmy Ward posted a picture on his socials today that he was receiving treatment inside Texans headquarters.
Yep.
So there is that.
You guys knew I wasn't a fan of him getting the extension when they gave it to him. I didn't want him on the team this year. But now with everything in flux with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, with the fact that he's, one, not healthy still, and he's dealing with all this other stuff, you'd like to possibly just figure out who else you can get on your roster and what else you can do, and kind of if there's a way to move on from Jimmy Ward, you move on from Jimmy Ward.
Really?
I would. His injury status alone is something that I didn't want to see back on this team. I just feel like he's missed more games or almost as many games as he's played since he's been a Texan, and I felt like he had lost a step, and I feel like that the everything else that's compounded now and the fact that they should be looking at safeties, I can't count on him. I don't know what's going to happen with the off-the-field stuff either, but I'd rather move on from it.
I'm going to have a pushback to that on the other side,
okay.
if you will allow me. Pushback to that. Also, C.J. Stroud had some comments to Evan Washburn of CBS. How much leeway are you giving this offense? First-year offense, bad offensive line. How long of a leash are you giving this offense if they struggle early in the season? Plenty to get to. Anthony Richardson, poor quarterbacking again yesterday. Shedeur Sanders, a lot of controversy here. TK at 4. Brian Mix's play the stupid game. Who said it? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitter at ESPN975, Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is the Killer Bees broadcasting live from BB's Cajun Cantina in Katy on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, listen up. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer that you can trust. Transparent, no hassle pricing. Get your car shopping done fast. They are terrific. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years, five decades in the business, and they've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, pre-owned vehicles, and these families keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. Family feel there, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to a fantastic culture that they have. Look, school's in session. School's back, and you might have a new driver in the house, perhaps. And if you're looking for a new vehicle for that new driver, you got to get out to Monument Chevrolet. It's a life-changing experience, the new possibilities like driving to school, driving to work, freedom, open road. And parents, Monument Chevrolet wants that experience to be first class to help you get your new driver on the road in quality, safe vehicle with a huge selection of pre-owned vehicles. Guess what? Also, a six-month, 6,000-mile limited warranty to prove they back up what they say. No lemons at Monument Chevrolet, and that's backed up with their guarantee. So get a fair deal, a fast deal, an easy deal without wasting your time and aggravating stressful negotiations. Head over to Monument Chevrolet, 225 and Beltway 8. Check out their massive inventory. Or if you like to shop online, that's cool. MonumentChevrolet.com. Check out their inventory there at MonumentChevrolet.com. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
John Granata here with Yanni Damaris from Damaris Barbecue. I'm going to tell you this. I had the ribeye steak. I'm telling you, for the price, your ribeye steak is as good as it gets.
We have the best ribeye steak in town with a baked potato and a salad.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy to do. You spice it up really well.
We do. We season it up good, and we have a secret marinade that we basted it with right at the end of cooking it.
Damaris Barbecue, two locations. One's on 610 and 18th Street. The other's at Shepherd, just north of West Alabama. Or you can order ahead at Damaris.com.
Why sit on the bench when you can step up to the plate and start earning now at Pipefitters Local 211? Our free state-of-the-art apprenticeship program trains the next generation of pipefitters, welders, and HVAC techs, and we're recruiting across the Texas coast from Houston to Beaumont. No experience? No problem. We'll coach you up, pay while you train, and set you up for a career that knocks it out of the park. Swing for success. Apply today at pipefitters211.com.
Want to do something different this year for your fantasy draft? Book a stay at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles and host your fantasy draft at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Louisiana's largest sportsbook is the place to watch, wager, and win. With over 3,200 square feet of LED screens, sleek setting, best odds, and top-notch food and cocktails, your college and pro football headquarters is DraftKings Sportsbook at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Reserve your fantasy draft package today. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Please call 1-877-770-STOP.
Summers in Texas are hot, but not for me, John Granato, because I have Coors Light. And Coors Light is all about keeping Texas chill. Do you want to beat the summer heat? I recommend cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Grab a 12-pack or case so that you've got your home base covered. And when you're hanging at your favorite watering hole, order a bottle or a bucket with those beautiful blue mountains. I love me some Coors Light. You will too. Choose chill. Choose Coors Light.
This message is approved by the man of the people, John Granato.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from BB's Tex Orleans in Katy as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
They love teachers here at BB's Cajun Cantina in Katy. Every Friday, teacher time. Free appetizers for teachers during happy hour. Happy hour, 3 to 6, so keep that in mind, especially as you're back in session. You're going to be wanting to take part in as many happy hours as possible. But Monday, they have 10-pound boiled shrimp daily specials. Kids eat free Tuesdays, Wednesdays, water creature Wednesday. So a bunch of Thursdays there, core surprise attack. Every week you receive a gift. So BB's Cajun Cantina in Katy, good every day. Always very good, but good
they
every
got
day.
Got it bad. The food is hot for teachers. Just letting you know.
713-780-ESPN. Grade the joke. 713-780-3776.
It was better than a normal one.
It was pretty good. Yeah, I will tip my cap.
That's plus five.
Thank you.
It's above the halfway
plus
mark.
Plus five?
Well, it's above the halfway mark is what I'm saying.
I see what you're saying. Sounds like the Texans are using the Astros medical staff, Keith. I don't know about that. I don't know if they're incompetent like the Astros medical staff is.
No, you know what it is, though? It's just the wart that won't go away with Houston sports and injuries to where everybody just ropes everything into, like, this is this the next thing where you have to, like, go, believe it or not, this actually happened. Somebody tweeted this to say that it was this and it's now that.
Yeah, it kind of speaks to this text. Injury fear-mongering is the inflatable hot tub of local Houston sports radio talk. A lot of it's been true, though. Like, a lot of times that, like, the stuff we hear is it's not as bad. Or actually, it's what the news isn't as bad as the injury, is what I'm trying to say. I think it could be a dislocated knee. I didn't see it, but it sounded like it from the report. I didn't see the play.
Yeah,
so it'd
was
be
not
hard
during
to...
the video portion for media. So no one that I know of had the video. There were people trying to do play-by-play descripts on the on social media. But, you know, overall, look, you can't say these things don't happen, right? We report on exactly what we hear and what we know and what the facts are, and the injuries are always there. But in terms of this particular injury, stranger things have happened, yes, but at the same time, there are plenty of guys that have non-contact injuries where after a play they just pull up and something blew.
Not interested in keeping Jimmy Ward on the Texans as a texter. Go get Justin Simmons. Simmons intrigues me a little bit. But the pushback that I would have to you, and like okay. this is taking away the legal situation.
Yep.
Like I like to eliminate myself from the legal situation until all the facts are presented. You know, the due process plays out. You know, there's a lot of cases that, yes, it does look the way that it is on the surface, but there's also a lot of cases that don't look like what they do on the surface. So I always like to be patient on that. If it comes out, you know, guilty for that, whatever. Like, okay, see ya. But I'm letting the due process play out in the legal situations. If we're talking football only, I don't know how you would be moving on from Jimmy Ward currently, because he's easily, if we're not including C.J. Gardner-Johnson, your second-best safety.
Let me be clear in the fact that I had this take before they extended him. I had this take at the end of last year.
I'll vouch for that.
And so, yeah, I get it that it changes a lot because of the fact that now you need someone that knows the system because you're short on safeties. But overall, to me, I was ready to move on from him at the end of last season. I definitely didn't like it when they extended him, and I was definitely hopeful that money could have been redirected towards maybe a younger safety or two to where you could get a guy or two in the building with the offseason to work with so that they would be up to snuff and be a more reliable and maybe a better option at this point in Jimmy Ward's career.
Right. But that's a different conversation than what you're doing right now in the moment. Like, right now the conversation is, would you rather have Jimmy Ward or MJ Stewart starting opposite of Kalen Bullock?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I understand the fact that a lot of people are going to say Jimmy Ward. I almost go MJ Stewart just because of the fact that, I mean, he's not – I don't think he's a great option. But at the same time, I don't trust Jimmy Ward to be quick enough anymore, and I certainly don't trust him – from his injury history, to be a guy I can rely on.
Okay, so you trust MJ Stewart more than Ward. I'm on the Ward side there. I would rather have Ward than MJ Stewart. I mean, that's our impasse. You go Stewart, I'd go Ward. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 97.5, the Methodist Orthopedic Flagship. Misleading medicine. That was Pete's joke, misleading medicine. I like that joke.
Yeah, we're not.
His recycled joke that he's told four times.
Yeah, he recycled his own joke, though.
Yeah.
He just really likes it, so he keeps playing the hits.
He does like to go to the well more than once when he thinks he's got something that works, even if we look by it the first time, try to do him a solid. Yeah, I mean, from my standpoint, the Justin Simmons part of this conversation too. Look, if this was Justin Simmons a couple years ago, you're probably paying a hell of a lot more. But there's a guy that was a hell of a good option if he was out there. But there's a reason why Justin Simmons isn't signed yet.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he's got left in the tank or even if he's interested in playing anymore.
Right. I would kick the tires on Simmons, too. I don't mind that. Israel says, let's go, Jimmy. Is there anyone from Sugar Land that can be called up to play safety? I am intrigued by this rookie, but he's a six-rounder who hasn't practiced much.
Kid from Penn State?
Jalen Reed, yeah.
Oh, his tape is good. And early reports when he was at camp was like that he might be a steal that maybe not right away, but is a guy that could make this roster and or be around this team for several years to come. And it's unfortunate from his standpoint that he can't show what he could do or possibly do right now, because I think they're saying it's this week and two more before he might be ready to get back on the field.
Yeah, that's going to be tough for him to make the team.
That's right.
Quite frankly. Jason Alexander, not Jason Alexander,
John Alexander.
John Alexander. He was saying how Miles Bryant can move a little bit to safety, so it could give you some depth there. Ocho saying anybody, but Jalen Petrie's better than coverage. Petrie's not good in coverage.
No, he's not.
They paid him for his leadership and his culture-ness. Dre says Petrie's a box safety, nothing special. I would agree. I think nothing special is not fair. I do think that Petrie's pretty special, like, in the run game.
Oh, without
I think Petrie's pretty special in, like,
pass
being
rush.
Able, yeah, I mean, not that you're asking
blitz,
a nickel to do
blitz.
That a whole yeah. lot. I do think he's a liability in coverage, better in zone than man. But I wouldn't have paid Petrie the money that they did. I think they paid Petrie the money they did because they believe he's a foundation of their swarm.
He's a good
culture.
Guy. He's from here. It's a great story. And on top of that,
I don't think that matters for them.
I think it's part of it. I really do. I think it does factor in. I'm not saying it's the number one reason why they did what they did, but you're right from a culture standpoint as well as all the other things. The fact that they love what he brings to the table and he's got that culture in him and that swarm in him, and that's what he lives every day, that's part of what they want in their players. You and I have been on the same page on this. I hate the routes he takes to get to footballs. I think in coverage he's a liability, but I do love the fact that when he comes off the edge and when they send him and or his instincts around the backfield are great.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. How long of a runway are you giving C.J. Stroud in this offense if things are a little shaky at the start of the season? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees live from BB's Cajun Cantina in Katy on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, I want to tell you what's new, and you thought you knew. It's the new Walmart.com. That's right, Walmart.com. It's basically everything that you love about Walmart and the fact that on top of everything else, they have upgraded everything to do with their online shopping. And that means that you can cash in on a ton of great deals and the way that they do about their business. They've got more than a half a billion items online, and you can find a huge selection of items that are online that you can't even find in stores. Who knew that unlike grocery stores, Walmart grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in store? Saves you time as you get everything that you need when it comes to feeding your family, hosting a tailgate, throwing a party. Think Walmart for all your grocery needs. I mean, with all the hustle and bustle you got going on in your life, if you got a family and you got kids and you got things going just about every minute of the day, you really don't want to take the extra time. If you need something from the grocery store or you need a few items here or there, you'd rather have it delivered. And if it's no cost or extra cost to you, why wouldn't you go to Walmart.com? They are the answer on so many different things that you may need, and it's all at your fingertips online. And did you know Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour if you need it fast? Fees and terms do apply, but in as fast as an hour is exactly what they mean when they say they're going to get it to you express delivery. But to get the express delivery and all the eligible things that you need from Walmart, for groceries to home goods to prescriptions, you need to get to Walmart.com. Check them out today. And because, like I told you, it is absolutely the best place to go when you need groceries or anything that you always go to Walmart for. Who knew? It's new. It's Walmart.com.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
As a rideshare driver, I love keeping my car smelling fresh and clean. So when I'm driving, I only trust Febreze Car Vent Clips, featuring three distinct intensity settings, because it's that little touch that sets me apart. I can turn the intensity down for subtle freshness, or I can turn it up for when I want lots of scent. So whether it's set to low, medium, or high, with Febreze Car, I know my car's going to smell amazing. Mm-hmm. Which keeps my driver rating right where it belongs. Picking up, Oscar! La, 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 la.
Ready to order?
Yes. We're earning unlimited 3% cash back on dining and entertainment with a Capital One Saver card. So, let's just get one of everything.
Everything?
Fire everything! The Capital One Saver card is at table 27 and they're earning unlimited 3% cash back.
Yes, chef!
This is so nice.
Had a feeling you'd want 3% cash back on dessert.
Ooh, tiramisu!
Earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining and entertainment with the Capital One Saver card. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Attention taxpayers. If you owe $5,000 or more and have missed another tax deadline, you're officially on the IRS's radar. The IRS has resumed aggressive collections. That means wage garnishments, bank levies, even seizures of your home, car, or retirement accounts. If you owe $5,000 or more and missed the deadline, you're stacking new debt on top of what you already owe. Call Priority Tax Relief now. Their experts fight back fast and are saving their clients millions in tax debt every month.
I owed over $50,000. And they settled it for pennies on the dollar. These guys are as legit as they come.
After speaking on my behalf with the IRS, my entire debt of $25,000 will be eliminated.
Whether you've received collection letters or you're already facing liens and garnishments, call for your free consultation. There are no upfront fees. Priority Tax Relief. Let's make your taxes our priority. Call 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195.
Priority Tax Relief.
Switching to Progressive is a game-winning call. And that reminds us of other game-winning calls in the history of sports.
It was a doubleheader in August and really hot inside the concession stand. So instead of waiting for people to come to me, I figured I'd walk around yelling,
"Hot dogs here!"
And that's how I became the first hot dog vendor in sports.
Okay, not really a game-winning call, but it was a good call. You can make one, too. Switch to Progressive and you could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The Killer Bees, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
Duggar.
Broadcasting live from BB's Tex Orleans in Katy as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Brandon.
At BB's Cajun Cantina in Katy, Voodoo Happy Hour every weekday 3 to 6. Frozen drinks, $5. Glass of white or red wine, $5. $2 off draft beers. This is the perfect happy hour spot, Voodoo happy hour, too, at BB's Cajun Cantina in Katy. Before we get to Stroud, we're going to bring back mean text slash calls for 5 seconds. Here was a caller earlier today into the Paul Gallant Show.
Jeremy Branham makes for terrible sports radio.
Hey, not a great singer. Not a great singer, that guy. Nah, mediocre singer. 3 at best. The insult's not bad. The insult's pretty good. The execution wasn't there, but living rent-free.
Was this the Paul Gallant voice?
He was doing the song Pearl Jam, Jeremy. Yeah, which he did it for me Payne first. Payne. Paul did do it for me before Jeremy Pena. Back in the old days, back at the flagship, he would do it. Yeah, but was this your friend, Blankers? Did you put him up to call him the Paul Gallant Show?
No. Contrary to your beliefs all the time, no, I did not.
I was kidding. Take it easy.
What's that guy's name that hates me? Who's the guy that hates me but also got into it with you?
I don't know,
back
man.
In the day, you have the drop saved.
D? Coward D?
Coward D.
I think Coward D's more of a you guy.
Yeah.
I would say that he's a Blankers fan.
You haven't heard from him in a while.
I haven't heard from Coward D. Maybe I won him over.
Yeah, fits the name.
Yeah, fits the name. Maybe it was Coward D that called in Paul's show.
Could have been.
I don't know. Anyways, How long of a leeway are we giving C.J. Stroud in this offense to figure it out? C.J. Stroud, he was talking to Evan Washburn, who has great hair, from CBS. He went out to the Greenbrier. Apparently they invited a bunch of people to the Greenbrier. Evan Washburn, I think Chris Sims was up there, Florio was up there. DeMeco Ryans was doing interviews with everybody on that final day. But Stroud was talking to Washburn, and this was Stroud's assessment of his play last year in 2024.
I would say, you know, the ownership of, you know, running the show of, you know, run checks, mic IDs, pass protections. You know, he really bought into it. But one thing that I try to remind myself or tell myself is, like, you know, I have to fight to get to that point where, like, it's comfortable. And it's like, like riding ABCs, you know, but I'm not there yet. So I just got to keep going and, you know, be hard on myself, but also, you know, try to give myself a little bit of grace. But everybody's depending on me and, you know, this offense and how we're going to roll. So, you know, I, you know, I'm really hard on myself about it, which I think is a good thing. But also, you know, try to learn as much as I can while in that.
There you go. So he assessment, he thought he played better last year than what many people thought. I agree with him. Cash or trash, he was better last year than the narrative of Stroud, slump, all that.
Totally. Look, I didn't put him in my top 10 going into this season because, like I said, the question marks to me start and end with, if this offensive line can't block, it doesn't matter how, you know, what you think of C.J. Stroud. But overall, last year, I thought this whole sophomore slump, if you just want to do it because people are saying, well, his statistics were less than his first year was statistically and otherwise one of the greatest first years for a rookie quarterback in the history of the NFL. The numbers were less than last year. There's a lot of reasons to point to why. Do I think that he's a less than quarterback? I absolutely do not.
Yeah, I thought he was better than the narrative. Here's another one from Stroud. Washburn asked him how he can put more on his play, because that's the thing going into this year, right? He's going to have checks at the line. He can check out of plays, more in his hands, more on his plate. And Washburn asked, well, what are those things?
I would say, you know, the ownership. I thought it was great.
Yeah,
I thought it was great. Not in the point of, like, winning or losing or success or failures, but it's like what I learned, you know, as a person, you know, as a man of God, as a teammate, you know, as a citizen in society, in Houston, you know. Like, so I learned just a bunch. And I think, you know, some of the best things that could ever happen are, you know, things, expectations not being met, because then you really see who cares and who doesn't. Sure. And that's where you, like, you know, you can still extend love, but you don't have to give people access. So it just taught me a lot on just, like, you know, who's really there for me, who's not. And I thought, you know, with what I had and what we dealt with as a team, you know, I thought we did great. You know, we're down on linemen a lot, changed a lot in the receiver room, you know, with Tank getting hurt, Steph, you know, and Nico going down early. So, you know, with what we had, I thought we did a good job of weathering the storm. But, you know, at the end of the day, everybody has entitled to their opinion. And I always like kind of like criticism and stuff. I think it always makes me play better.
I kind of like that, too. I like that about Stroud, that he likes criticism. I'm right there with him. But how much of a runway are we giving Stroud in this offense? New offense, more on his plate, offensive line that's in flux, not talented. How long are we giving him before we begin to get critical, I guess?
To be honest, you can be critical whenever you want. I think, to be fair on your critique, you probably have to get closer to week six, five or six. But at the same time, I think the runway is the entire season, because I think that, you've got to get everybody comfortable. You're in a tough situation trying to figure out what the offensive line is going to be. You're already dealing with injury there. We don't know when Mixon plays his first game. He does have more resources, but this is for Kaylee's first time doing what he's doing as well. I think that it's fair to be critical whenever he makes mistakes, misses, whatever he does that you want to say is less than.
Yeah.
But I think that overall he is who he is for the whole season for your team. So it's going to be tough. The offense as a whole will be critical as soon as we see things. I think you do have to give it a few weeks in the regular season to kind of iron out some things.
If we're seeing the mental mistakes of pre-snap stuff because Stroud is having trouble, like, checking out of plays or getting them in new plays or reading a defense, like, I'm willing to give him, like, four games there. But if it's a year-long problem, if it's something that's still showing up in the last quarter of the year, second half of the year, I will begin to question if Stroud should have that much on his plate. I think he's going to excel with it. I think he's going to be very good. But if he struggles with it going into the second half of the year and it's, like, very obvious, we'll know it when we see it, I'm going to be like, eh, maybe there's a reason that Bobby Slowik wasn't putting a lot on his plate.
And he is betting on himself in a variety of, in a variety of ways now. Because I think that what happens this year dictates so much about his contract and when he gets and what he gets going forward. And then I think, to your point, look, this is all we've heard, and this is what everybody's been, you know, feeding us. This is what CJ's always wanted. This is what CJ preferred even a year ago. This is what CJ's desire is as a quarterback, to be and do what some of the other great quarterbacks and the best quarterbacks in the league do. Now you get all of this and you're less than with it, then there's going to be a totally different narrative on CJ Stroud.
I don't know about you guys, and maybe this is reading way too much into the audio equivalent of body language, but that first clip we played where he's talking about, you know, it's not there yet, you know, I'm trying not to be hard on myself, I didn't like what felt like a lack of confidence in CJ in learning this new system. Maybe I'm reading entirely too much into it, but it didn't inspire confidence in me to hear him not have confidence in what he's doing so far.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of that too. And, like, this is overreaction season. Like, what he said could be real. What he said could be proved wrong week one.
Right.
Like Jamar Chase needing a stripe around the tip of the football to catch it. This is overreaction season. But I heard that too. Like, I heard a guy who feels like he has a long way to go to be able to master, maybe even just excel in the new offense, not even the new offensive scheme, but more what he's in control of. Like, okay, I can motion my receiver from this side of the line to this side of the line. I can check out of this play. This is the defense I'm seeing. This is why I'm checking out of the play. He doesn't feel, with that interview, and he shouldn't right now, August 8th, but it feels to me like he thinks he has a ways to go to be good at it.
Well, but I also think that, because I get what you're saying about the way it started, Bryant, but I think that the way it finished and how hard he is on himself, you know, everything along the way was that he is an X's and O's guy. He dialed in even harder. He basically brought it, kind of reeled it all back in to make sure that he learned from last year and he's going to be better because of it. I just think that part of that maybe be the fact that going up against this defense every day, it's a pretty staunch task, and that maybe it's a combination of things.
I think he'll get there, my bad. I think he'll get there, like, and I think he's going to be good at it. My... it's not even a concern. It's more just throwing this out there as plausibility, like a theory, like a possibility, is that as hard as he can, like, work on it and as much as he can try, like, I can work as hard as I possibly can to jump, to, like, dunk a basketball. It ain't happening. Like, you know what I mean?
So until you go up against an opponent?
What do you mean?
Like, I thought what you were saying is you can do everything that we're doing right now and even against our defense, but until we go up against a true – you know, opposition that are just going to throw everything at me?
No, it's more like my wonder. And look, again, I predict that he's going to be good at it. But my wonder is, what if he's just bad at it? What if that's not his game? What if Bobby Slowik didn't put a lot on his plate because he's not good at it? Like, we talk a lot about coaches putting players in a position to succeed. You're gonna have a player do what they're good at. You're not going to have a player do what they're bad at. That's what good coaches do. So until we see him be good at it, I think that there's always going to be the element of doubt that maybe he doesn't have that in his bag.
Yeah, and you know what? You can still be a good quarterback in this league if he doesn't have it, but you need to get him some help then at the center position and otherwise if you want to truly give him every opportunity to succeed if he truly isn't good at it. I want to believe that he is good at it.
Uh-huh.
Everything you heard from Ohio State all the way till now is he is a true football junkie. He's an X's and O's guy. You know, he's going to really do everything he possibly can to do everything that he needs to do as a quarterback. So I believe in him.
I think all those things don't necessarily, like, equal success at all the things that are going to be on him, though.
Yeah, plus, I mean, the other thing is how quickly you can calibrate and do those things.
And I'm with you. Like, I think he can still be good despite not having that. Mm-hmm. But I do think it puts a ceiling on his goodness. Like, I think it puts a ceiling on – like, we've talked about Stroud in the past. Like, we think he can be a top 5 quarterback. We think he can be a top 3 quarterback. We think he can lead a team to a Super Bowl. If he doesn't have that in his bag, I think we have to change those expectations and change those conversations. I think now we're looking at a top 10 quarterback, top 10 quarterback that needs a lot of help around him, as opposed to a top 3, top 5 quarterback that can bring the most out of his team.
Yeah, no, you're right on that. And the fact is, expectations have to be, I don't want to say tempered, but they definitely have to change if that's the situation that you truly are dealing with. Like, you give him every runway to succeed, but at a certain point, you have to be realistic and say, some people just can't do the kind of things that, you know, we're expecting him to do, no matter how hard you hope it to, and he, how confident he is he can get there.
We haven't seen him do it yet.
That's right.
Like, the offense he was in the last 2 years didn't ask him to. Like, in a lot of ways, and I look, he's going to get paid next offseason no matter what, how much. Like, I don't think it's going to change a whole lot based on the season that he has. I think he's going to get paid a lot of money next offseason, almost on whatever outcome happens this year, barring disaster.
He might turn it to be Jordan Love.
Jordan Love still got paid.
I'm saying, that's what I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
He could be Jordan Love in the fact that he's next up, he's going to get the money regardless.
He could be Trevor Lawrence.
But then once he gets the contract, you have to deal with the shortcomings of maybe he isn't all those things that most of the guys getting that money are.
Yeah, this is like sink or swim year in the sense of, like, how great can he be? Because if he excels with all of this stuff, okay, I think he could be a top quarterback in the NFL. If he struggles with this stuff, top 10-ish. Like, I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
I think that's the pendulum in year three of C.J. Stroud. All right, 713-780-ESPN. How about other quarterbacks in the NFL? Anthony Richardson, he can't read a defense. He's got a broken pinky to show for it. And Shedeur Sanders, the takes out there on him are outrageous. Killer Bees Live, BB's Cajun Cantina in Katy on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
John Granata here with Yanni Damaris from Damaris Barbecue. I am a wing connoisseur, and I think your Greek wings are as good as any wings in this city.
The Greek wings, I just had one that I brought in just now. It was awesome.
You can get them smoked as well.
Yes.
Or you can get them
fried with Frank's hot sauce. You can get them with our second-gen barbecue sauce. You can get them just about any way you want.
Damaris Barbecue, two locations. One's on 610 at 18th Street. The other's at Shepherd, just north of West Alabama. Or you can order ahead at Damaris.com.
Switching to Progressive is a game-winning call. And that reminds us of other game-winning calls in the history of sports.
It was a doubleheader in August and really hot inside the concession stand. So instead of waiting for people to come to me, I figured I'd walk around yelling,
"Hot dogs here!"
And that's how I became the first hot dog vendor in sports.
Okay, not really a game-winning call, but it was a good call. You can make one, too. Switch to Progressive and you could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
If you're into firearms, you have to check out Collector's Firearms. This isn't just a gun shop. It's like walking through a museum where everything's for sale. They got one of the largest selections of new and pre-owned guns in the country, from tactical to historical, modern handguns to vintage rifles. Whether you're a seasoned collector or a first-time gun owner, the expert staff at Collector's Firearms will guide you through every step. On Westheimer, at Voss, or online at collectorsfirearms.com. Collector's Firearms, the best damn gun shop in the world.
Hi, this is Harold Gunn.
And this is Bill Olson. Texas Outdoor News is the longest-running, most award-winning outdoor radio show in the state for a lot of good reasons.
We bring you the latest news and information about hunting and fishing across our great state and beyond.
And our guests are who's who from industry, government, and the field.
Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Join us Saturday mornings at 6, Sunday at 7 on ESPN 97.5.
Explore wildlife and nature just 90 minutes from Houston at twocreekscrossingresort.com.
The summer circuit continues. Join ESPN Houston every week as we visit different restaurants all over the greater Houston area. Plus, each week you can register to win our grand prize of the summer, a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company, a $4,000 value. This week we'll be hanging out, enjoying great food and drinks at BB's Tex Orleans. Come out and join us this Friday from noon to 6 at BB's Tex Orleans in Katy. Find the entire summer circuit schedule at ESPN975.com.
Broadcasting live from BB's Tex Orleans in Katy as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
BB's Cajun Cantina in Katy. That's Texas Trio, Picanha 3, $16.99. All the fixings, all the sides, corn, potatoes. You get any three of shrimp, fish strips, cheeseburger sliders, spicy button, mushrooms, and pineapple sausage, the Belleville sweet chipotle sausage, or boneless chicken wings. Fantastic deal. You got to take advantage of that. We're here until 6, but they're always open. Anthony Richardson yesterday. All of the offensive line gurus, quarterback gurus, football X and O savants, Anthony Richardson can't pick up a normal like concept. Like, okay, there's a free rusher here. We know that we're hot over here to the right side. Anthony Richardson never looks where he has eyes and then takes a massive hit. Luckily got away with it only with a dislocated pinky.
Isn't it all but one? Wasn't Quincy Avery on his side?
No.
No?
I watched that one today. Quincy Avery was like, this is basic. Like, I watched that one specifically because I bookmarked it last night.
Okay.
And I thought he was going to defend Anthony Richardson. When I watched it today, he's like, yeah, this is very basic quarterbacking, and this is a problem.
Yeah, you just watch it no matter how many times you watch it, and like you said, and how many other opinions come into it. Not a good look for Anthony Richardson, because all we kept hearing is them trying to pump him back up this camp, saying, oh, my goodness, his throwing is phenomenal, and it's so much improved, and he's making all the throws and capable of doing everything now. And then you see this in his first game, and he gets hurt on top of the play that happens that was a bad look for him. It's like, man, this kid, it just doesn't look like it's going to end well in Indy.
Yeah, well, he got out of it with he's expected back to practice like in the next couple of days. But my takeaway of that is, yeah, Daniel Jones is probably going to be their starter. Yeah. Like, I feel pretty comfortable that Daniel Jones is the better quarterback between he and Richardson. Not that Jones is great, and Richardson will get a shot because either one of them is going to struggle, whoever is the starter. But I can't imagine a scenario where they go into week one, if they're both healthy, and Daniel Jones is not their first guy.
I said it when we were talking about who's going to be the starter week one. I really thought that it would be Daniel Jones. But the caveat being that the only reason why it wouldn't be is because he was drafted so high, and Ballard is a guy that wants to see his guy succeed. And if all things are close to equal, then you give Anthony Richardson another shot at it. I don't know how this affects it, and I would tend to agree with you. Both guys, I think, are going to see plenty of playing time this year because I think both guys are going to struggle.
Yeah, neither one's just going to like take
right.
The grasp of the team. Here was Shedeur Sanders is starting at quarterback for the Browns today, which I'm on the Browns today. I'm the biggest Shedeur Sanders fan today. Go Browns. They're heavy underdogs today. They're plus 230. Plus 230 the Browns today. What do they chant in Brown? B-R-O? I don't know what they chant in Cleveland. Do y'all know?
I have no idea.
I'm a bigger fan of Shedeur Sanders than Deion Sanders is today because your boys got Cleveland plus 230. But anyways, there's some hot takes about Shedeur Sanders starting tonight, which is outrageous to me. Here was Stephen A. Smith with a hot take on Shedeur getting the start for Cleveland this evening.
Okay. Here we are on national television, right? There's been 11 practices, if I remember correctly. He's been starting against he's been playing against the third unit. He's fourth on the depth chart. And then suddenly you throw him into the start lineup, and he hasn't had any reps with the first team at all. Think about that. So you're just going to throw him to the Wolves like that, huh? I mean, if he had first team snaps in practice, I don't say that. But he doesn't. And then all of a sudden he's starting tomorrow night. It's like you want him to fail. I'm not accusing the coaches of doing this. I'm not accusing the GM of doing this. But that owner, Mr. Haslam, that's a different animal right there. Mr. $230 million guaranteed deal to Deshaun Watson. And then he's going to come out this time around. I had nothing to do with this pick. I didn't have anything to do with it. I mean, that wasn't me. That was GM Barry. Anyway, that wasn't me. The owner sitting up there. It wasn't me. Wasn't me. Yo! Wasn't me. That's what he was saying. And I'm saying, really? That's what we're doing now?
Lewis Riddick had similar thoughts, how that, you know, it's not great that Shedeur Sanders is starting. What are your takeaways here?
My first takeaway is you're not going to see the ones. I don't think either team's going to play their ones. So you're not going to be playing with your ones. You're not going to be playing against their ones. And so this is – you take any chance you can get right now. So I think Stephen A. was way off base on this. I think he was way out there like he sometimes can be. And I think he's wrong. I think that – when you look at this and the situation that he's in, is it ideal? No, simply because of the fact that they've got a couple of quarterbacks dinged up and you know, going out for week one, they said he's going to play 50 plays. But just like anybody else that always is clamoring for, I just need a shot. I just need a shot. Well, it doesn't matter where you were drafted or anything else starting tonight. If you get a shot and make a couple of plays, that can get people to turn some heads and say, hey, he is getting it. Hey, we hear everything we hear in camp, but we really don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Google AI says Carolina is playing some of their starters, so like there's that element of it. So like he's going up against maybe a starting caliber defense for a series or two. I don't love the whole, he's playing with a third team and now he's playing with the first team. Oh my goodness, woe is me. Like, isn't it better that he has better players around him? Like, he's getting the opportunity to play with first teamers as opposed to third teamers. I think that's a fantastic thing. And how can you view anything other than this as a tremendous opportunity for him to impress? Like, he was a late-round draft pick. He's their current fourth quarterback on their depth chart. This is an opportunity for a young quarterback to impress, to potentially make the team, to curry favor with his coaching staff. I look at it as an opportunity because he's not guaranteed to make the 53.
No.
If he impresses in the preseason playing with the ones, then he's going to force a decision from Andrew Berry, from Kevin Stefanski. So I view it as an opportunity, not as a punishment or they're setting him up for failure. They're giving him a chance to impress and make the team.
Yeah, this feels like example 2,398 of Stephen A. Smith doesn't know football.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, to you guys' point, like if teams in preseason, especially now that they've reduced the preseason schedule to three games instead of four, that's the life of a rookie fifth-round pick is at the bottom of the depth chart. You're going to start these games like Shedeur Sanders is starting, and if he's getting to play with the ones against the other team's ones, it should be viewed as nothing more than an opportunity because if he goes out and he kills it, he goes, you know, 8 of 10, leads a touchdown drive, impresses them, then maybe he moves up the depth chart because obviously Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, Joe Flacco, there's not a lot of impeding him if he plays well, so take it as an opportunity. It's not setting up the fail.
No, and let's think about this, and I've seen it happen multiple times. When I say that it only takes a couple of plays to turn some heads, like even a guy like Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill in Green Bay was a similar situation. He was a late round pick. He was buried on the depth chart. He got a chance to start. He made a couple of plays, and the next thing you know, it was a different team that because of the resume that he put on tape doing what he did for Green Bay in the Saints that said, there's a role for you. At this point, he should just be thirsty for a chance to make a roster, to prove he belongs, and then he can go from there. And this is a massive opportunity for him.
To be fair, Shedeur is not the one saying this.
Like, right.
Shedeur probably is looking at this as an opportunity. But they're treating Shedeur, Stephen A., Riddick, whatever, like he's a first-rounder. Like they're treating him like he's the number one pick of the draft. He's a fifth-rounder that has to make his way onto the 53. Graham Mertz is recovering from injury or whatever, but if Graham Mertz was starting at quarterback for the Texans on Saturday, do we have this uproar?
Nope.
No, we're like, let's see what the sixth-rounder looks like. Like, it's the same thing with Shedeur, except he has name value. Like, they're treating him like he was a first-rounder, and he wasn't. He was a fifth-rounder that is fighting for a job on their 53-man roster, and we haven't even looked at it from a team perspective. Joe Flacco ain't playing the first preseason game. He's ancient. Kenny Pickett is hurt. Dylan Gabriel is hurt. Who else is supposed to play?
Yeah, they just signed Hundley, so he's not going to play either. So they
excuse me, that's Pro Bowler Tyler.
I thought about saying that.
I call him Snoop.
Snoop.
Yeah, that's what they call.
His own first name.
No, that's his nickname.
Yeah.
So
they're tight.
Yeah, they are. And so that's why they're even saying he's going to play 50 plays. But you look at it as the opportunity. And here's the other thing that is kind of like a sidebar to this. Lewis Riddick is really, really, really good friends with the Sanders family and Deion. And Deion went at him before the draft, when he had said some things where he was pointing out some things about Shedeur. Stephen A. likes to think that he's tight with Deion, too. And they've had him on the show and everything like that. That's where you just got to call it like you see it. You can't worry about your friendships at this point. You have to analyze Shedeur Sanders, the football player, and this is where I think the lines are getting clouded. I think that they're leaning towards trying to be kind of on the side of the Sanders family.
Yeah, outrageous to me. All right, let's get to Todd Callis, TV voice of the Astros. TK joins us next. Killer Bees from BB's Cajun Cantina and Katie on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.